You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 368 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live deep into the night on this Tuesday, actually the second show of the day. If you guys are listening to this podcast and missed the one earlier in the day, I caught up on a number of topics with Jeff Siegel on the first podcast in over a week. I was international traveling, so it was one of those things where I was kind of out of pocket, which I warned everybody about, but at the same time, we caught up on a lot of different things on that podcast earlier, so if you missed that, please go back and check that show out at some point in time. But as for today's task, it will be to break down the game between the Hawks and the Miami Heat. The Hawks actually led very deep into this game, but Miami finished the game with 11 consecutive points to escape with a three-point victory by a final score of 101-98, and as a result of that, we'll jump off from there. Before things actually got started in Miami, there was a late scratch from Dwayne Dedmon, who was initially in the starting lineup, was not on the injury report at all, but was actually scratched with a sore rib right before the game started. There was some reporting on the broadcast from Andre Aldridge of Fox Sports Southeast about that, the fact that it was it appears to be an actual injury with Dedmon. It did smell a little bit fishy in terms of the tank race to see Dedmon scratch that late, especially when he was not on the injury report before that, but apparently warmed up and was not able to go. And as we'll talk about in a second here, he was not the only player for the Hawks that was not in the lineup for most of this game. But at the same time, the Hawks entered this game, even with Dedmon health, they had as many as 10 guys available. But one of those players was Antonius Cleveland, who had been listed as doubtful. He, of course, has been signed by the Hawks and has not played a single game in Atlanta just yet. He was available to play per the team before the game, but he never actually entered this contest. And you have to assume, based on the way the rotation went, that if he was actually able to play, he probably would have played in this spot. So long and short of it is that the Hawks started this game with 8 players that were actually available to play, and then as we'll talk about in a second, Torian Prince kind of disappeared, and it became a 7-man rotation for the entire second half, which is a pretty weird and interesting setup for this game, given the fact that the Hawks actually competed in a big way against Miami. So they enter this game, the Hawks, as 11.5-point underdogs. As you might expect, this is a tall task against a Heat team that's obviously trying to win right now. They don't really have a ton of injuries. Only Deion Waiters is out of the lineup, so this is a full-strength Miami team, basically, that is trying to play for playoff positioning. So they have every reason to play hard in this game, but the Hawks came out and played well, for the most part, in this spot. Actually, the beginning of this game was sort of overshadowed by Miami's ugly shooting. They missed their first 7 shots from the floor. The Hawks were able to claim an 11-5 early lead, despite the fact that John Collins picked up his second foul in the first couple of minutes. Actually, he picked up that foul on review after hitting Tyler Johnson in the face, and Johnson actually lost a tooth in the process. It was a pretty ugly scene if you actually saw that, but I don't think it was necessarily intentional. One of those things where Collins just got the foul and actually had to spend some time on the bench in that first quarter. Miami did wake up after that, though. They shot 12-17 for the rest of the first quarter, took a 5-point lead into the second quarter. But the Hawks came alive in the second quarter with a 13-0 run of their own to retake the lead. That included 3-pointers from both Damian Lee and Mike Muscala in that run. Also, down the stretch of the first half, John Collins hit 2 threes in the final few minutes, one from the corner, and then later on he followed it up with one from the top of the key, pretty amusingly, right after his mother had been interviewed on the broadcast, which is pretty funny. And she talked about how the fact that John's 3-point shooting is sort of one of his underutilized traits, and he, of course, right on cue, knocked down 2 threes. So that was a little bit of fun. But the Hawks actually went into the half with the lead. They had a 1-cent offensive rating in that first half, and they were able to hold off Miami a little bit in terms of just using that 13-0 run and just being playing very well in that first half, in short. In the second half, though, Miami opened things up with a 17-5 run. It seemed from that point forward as if the Heat were going to cruise to victory because, of course, they are the better team in this spot. But the Hawks kept fighting really the entire second half. They kept fighting back. There was a 6-0 run to close the third quarter that included back-to-back threes from Tyler Dorsey and John Collins to tie the game at 78 each. And the Hawks actually took a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter with an 11-0 run to open things up. From there, it was basically all heat, though. At that point, the Hawks were up 89-80, and that was the Hawks did actually hold off the Heat a little bit for a couple of minutes there, to the point where it actually felt like the Hawks were sort of the team of destiny here. DeAndre Bembry hit two crazy shots in the fourth quarter, one of which was a floater contested that actually ended up going in off the glass, and then later he had a shot clock beating three-pointer that looked as if it was going to be sort of a dagger of some sort, but Miami came on strong. The Hawks led 98-90 in the closing minutes, and as you might have remembered from before when I was talking about the final score, the game finished 101-98. So again, 11 straight points for the Hawks down the stretch. They just could not execute. A couple of moments that Hawks, even after Miami took the lead late, had an opportunity with Damian Lee to retake the lead in the final second, just never got an actual quality shot off, and Miami emerged with the victory. So all that said, I mean, it was a competitive game for the Hawks. If you were a taking enthusiast, this is probably a best case scenario type of thing for the Hawks, in that they competed for 48 minutes, but actually fell short of the victory. In some ways, though, it's probably frustrating for Atlanta to come that close to winning, especially in a spot where it would have been sort of a heroic victory with only 8 guys available. But yeah, that was the end of that. In terms of just big picture stuff in this spot, the Hawks shot 13-33 from three, so 39% from 3-point range, but only 42% from the floor. 15 turnovers, a pretty slow-paced game. The Hawks actually scored exactly 1 point per possession, which is not going to be good enough to get it done on most nights in the NBA. Defensively, they did a pretty good job holding Miami to 45% shooting and 24% from three in this spot. But it just wasn't enough because of the offensive shortcomings that the Hawks had on the road here. But the big picture in terms of the takeaway that I had and that most people will have from this game is that Taurean Prince played only 10 minutes in this spot. He did not appear in the game after he was removed with 9:59 left in the second quarter, and he never came back. Did not start the second half, did not play at all in the second half, and after the game, Mike Budenholzer was asked by Andre Aldridge on the broadcast why that was, and he basically said it was a coach's decision, end quote from Budenholzer. You know, this is not the first time that Bud has benched a guy for a second half or, you know, an entire stretch of a game. You know, Dennis Schroeder a couple times has been benched. Dwayne Dedmon had a couple of benchings, and even Prince earlier in the season had a disappearing act like this. But at the same time, having only 8 players for this game and then suddenly taking one of those guys out of the equation, arguably the best player that the Hawks had available, was removed from the game. That's pretty crazy to see. I mean, obviously there's a taking implications. I will say it's a little bit strange to play him and start him and then remove him in the middle of the game versus you know, potentially not playing him in the fourth quarter or something like that. Only playing 10 minutes in the first half and then taking him out makes me think it's probably something to do with sending a message. It's not me. It was not the first time that I think that in terms of the way that the Hawks have treated Taurean Prince in this game. In this season, same with Dennis Schroeder. Bud has not been shy about sending some messages his way. But the fact that the Hawks had only 8 players and then willingly took one of them off the floor for 33 minutes consecutively was pretty crazy to see. I mean, obviously it could be some taking stuff, but I continue to think that Bud is trying to win games, so that would not be the whole reason why you would think that. I understand that's probably the obvious takeaway that people will have, but could be something behind the scenes that we don't know about, but just something to monitor there. It was certainly interesting to note, and I mean, as Graham Chappell put forth on Twitter and in our Slack chat for Peachtree Hoops, coach's decision is the buzzword for Bud. He's never going to give you more than that in terms of actually discussing what transpired or the actual thinking behind that. So it certainly was a coach's decision, and we'll just leave it there for now. Before we get into the player stuff on today's podcast, I do want to remind you guys to subscribe to the podcast. I know I missed a week plus of shows, so if you have not subscribed, please check that out and sort of catch up on the backlog, all that fun stuff. Please leave 5-star feedback if you like the podcast, or even if you don't like the podcast, please tell us why you don't like the podcast. iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, which is also iTunes, of course, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, all those places that you can get podcasts. If we are on a platform that you, if we're not on a platform that you actually want us to use, please let us know that, and we'll do our best to get on that platform. But please subscribe and tell your friends all about the podcast. I would really appreciate it. Moving forward to the player portion of the podcast, could be a little bit shorter than normal because there's only 8 guys to talk about, and really only 7 after you talk about Taurean Prince. So we'll start with the bench. Only 3 guys appeared off the bench. Tyler Dorsey played 38 minutes, which is crazy for a guy who didn't even start the game in a 48-minute game. 18 points for Dorsey, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. So the numbers look good there, although he was 6 of 16 from the floor, so not super efficient, but 4 of 7 from 3. Made a bunch of big shots in the second half, and I thought gave generally pretty good effort here and defended well, at least in terms of by his personal standard, I would say. Dorsey was important after Prince was removed. He got the start in the second half and played a ton of minutes, as you can see. I thought he was pretty solid for the most part. Mike Muscala, 33 minutes, 13 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 3 of 8 from 3, 4 of 10 from the field. Not the best or the worst game from Muscala. He had a pretty ugly stretch at one point in the first half of this game, but I actually hit a bunch of big shots after that. I was sort of had an eyebrow raise as to why he wasn't playing more in crunch time. Miles Plumlee played a ton in the fourth quarter, which I was not a huge fan of. If you're trying to win the game, I know there's reasons to think everything that you want to think in terms of that spot, but Muscala did end up playing 33 minutes, so can't really complain about that too much. I thought he played, at least an above average game by his standards. And DeAndre Bembry was the other bench player that appeared in this game. 17 minutes for DeAndre, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. So he played by far the least of anybody that was actually available in the second half. Bembry had a couple of very, very nice moments in this game. A really nice pass when he first entered the game in the first half. A couple of nice drop-off passes. Had the aforementioned floater and three-pointer in the second half. Did have a lot of issues with his ball handling, though, I will say. It's sort of a loose handle right now. That's something DeAndre is going to have to improve on as a playmaker, because this can be his best direct path to offensive impact in the NBA is through his playmaking. And with a loose handle, it's tougher to do that. But his passing ability was certainly on display here. And the 4 assists in 17 minutes definitely talked about that. Moving on to the starters, obviously Torian Prince again, 10 minutes, 5 points, 2 rebounds. I watched the tape again. Didn't look like he was necessarily bad overall. Defensively, his sort of trademark lack of effort at different times in the first half, but I don't think it was necessarily a spot where it was benchable. He did take a pretty bad shot right before he was benched with about 10 minutes to go, and non-coincidentally, I'm sure Bud immediately took him off the floor with 9:59 left. He committed a foul right before that as well, so I'm not sure if that was something, there was something said, or if that was a performance-related decision. Anyway, Prince, 10 minutes of play, 2-5 on the floor, 5 points, and 2 rebounds. John Collins had the best game of anybody for the Hawks in this spot, 19 points, 10 rebounds in 33 minutes. He was 7-14 from the floor, 3-7 from 3. His most prolific game as a shooter in the NBA, and I thought Collins was fantastic, frankly. I wish the Hawks had gone through him more in the fourth quarter. Thoughts about him a little bit earlier with Jeff Siegel. This is one of those games where you could definitely take away a little bit higher on Collins. He played very well in this spot. Against the Miami team that's playing a ton of quality guys. Miami only played 9 guys in this game, but they're all legitimate rotation players. I saw Whiteside has his flaws, to be sure, and he was not great necessarily in this spot, especially in the fourth quarter. But Collins playing well and playing up to his position in this game was encouraging. And the 19-10 tells a good story about how well he played. He was +5 in a game the Hawks lost, so also file that away because he was very good here. Miles Plumlee, 6 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists. He got the start in place of Dwayne Dedman, who was scratched, of course. Plumlee, I'm actually okay with that, with him getting a start in this spot, only because of the fact that Whiteside is such a load to handle. I would have certainly played Muscala more than Plumlee in this game, but given that they only had 3 bigs, 33, 34, and 33 minutes for the 3 big men in this game. So that's how you get to the full 96 on a night when you don't have a ton of depth up front, and with Collins playing some 4 as well. But Plumlee played a lot of minutes. He was sort of Plumlee in some ways. Something I want to mention about Plumlee, his free throw shooting is just off the rails at this point in time. He's about a 44% free throw shooter coming into the night. It was 0 for 2 in this game. Just looks very uncomfortable there, which is not a huge thing for a guy who doesn't get to the line a whole lot, but something to monitor moving forward because it's pretty ugly right now at the line. And to the starting backcourt, Damian Lee, 6 of 19 from the floor, 16 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals. He was more efficient in the first half, went a little bit cold in the second half, including some of those crunch time possessions. But Lee continues to play well. Obviously, was pretty inefficient here. 16 points on 19 shots is not very very great. But at the same time, the 9 rebounds are encouraging, the 3 steals. He got good effort and was a reminder, at least that when he was playing well earlier in the game, as to why he would have wanted to get out of Atlanta, or at least be able to not be locked into a multi-year contract with some non-guaranteed stuff. So he'll have his freedom at the end of the season. I think he's been playing well, about as well as you could possibly expect a guy in his position to play. And finally, Isaiah Taylor, 38 minutes, 15 points, 9 assists. He was -3 in those 38 minutes, but 7-14 from the floor. I thought he played pretty well. Actually, Goran Dragic had a big game for the Heat with 22 points and 10 rebounds, but I thought Taylor in his minutes definitely held up pretty well. You know, he was minus 3 in a game. The Hawks lost by 3, so it wasn't as if he was dominant or anything like that. But at the same time, he was the only point guard available. Played a ton of minutes as a result. Led the entire game in minutes played with 38 and a tie with Tyler Dorsey. It's tough to say. But Taylor continues to play a lot. I'm not necessarily overjoyed by his play, but at the same time, I think he's an NBA player, which is encouraging for a guy that the Hawks got at the last minute before camp started this season. So. Overall takeaways, the Hawks hang around, in a game they're supposed to lose by 11 and a half points, according to Vegas, only lose by 3 points, and they played well here. Offensively, some issues to be sure, but defensively, a great effort, but was seemingly pretty pleased with the way that team played. If you told me this is going to be the active roster and that Torian Prince will only play 10 minutes, I would have told you the Hawks were probably going to lose by 15 to 20 points. So losing by only 3, and honestly, they probably should have won this game, frankly. I mean, the 11 point run down the stretch by Miami was facilitated by some ineptitude from the Hawks, but at the same time, it was basically just Miami sort of turning the switch. They waited a long time to do it. I thought for sure in the fourth quarter, a couple of runs were going to be coming from Miami, and they just never happened. So credit the Hawks for that. They played well here. So moving on to Wednesday, the Hawks and Heat will be getting back together on the floor this time in Atlanta. I'll be in the building for that one. So after a weird game on Tuesday, I'll be interested to see how both teams respond, frankly, or if who is available for the Hawks, whether it be Dedmon or Cleveland or even Prince, all that fun stuff. There's some stuff to keep an eye on for Wednesday's game. So, of course, we'll be recapping that game from Phillips Arena. So check that out as well. Thanks for listening to the podcast as well, everybody. Please, I really appreciate everybody's patience with my travel over that week plus. I'll be back into a more regular schedule now that I am back in the country with some dependable internet and all that fun stuff. So please subscribe to the podcast. Check out the show earlier with Jeff Siegel, which we get a little bit more in depth on a couple of things. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.